Oh, man, that broke my heart, Javi.
Last night?
Yeah. I got to tell you, man. This is tough.
It was tough. I think it's tough to see him under those circumstances. I think the reunion was fun. I think seeing him smile and interact with the Chicago media again was I felt bad for him. It was nostalgic. But it was sentimental.
I mean, I don't want to be mean to anyone, but it was like you paid to go to a Paul McCartney concert and you had to listen to him sing. It was just kind of like, oh, boy.
Well, what does that mean?
That means that he can't sing anymore.
I mean, he's past his prime.
Okay.
He's like in his
80s. Javi Baez is past his prime.
Yes, he is.
And Javi...
But he's still young. He's not, well, like, should he be as bad as he is?
No.
And the thing is, like... Remember when they booed him on the south side? He got a couple hits. You know, I was like, oh, don't boo him. They cheer him on the north side, and he had four strikeouts, right?
Yeah, but
four strikeouts,
you're still
going to
cheer him. I know.
But I mean, like,
you're not cheering his present
it was
day
awful.
Version of himself. You are cheering the guy you remember as El Mago.
You're cheering a shadow.
You're cheering a memory. You're celebrating a feeling.
Paul McCartney singing.
Okay. You're a Sox fan. You're not going to have the same kind of reaction to Javi Baez being at Wrigley Field as Cub fans will. That's just...
My former Sox fandom has nothing to do with this at all. I don't think that's fair. I've always been, and you can ask Dustin.
I know you like Javi Baez.
I always found him... an unbelievably compelling guy.
Two things can be true. Yes, he stinks right now. Everybody knows that. And yes, you can have a good feeling when you see Javi Baez at Wrigley Field interacting with people that he remembers and in a place that he was very special for several years.
It's tough.
But Dustin,
have I not always been a
Javi? You have, absolutely. Yeah, you have. I have a question, though, about that. And maybe it's just because it's the most recent one. It felt like... from the TV side of things and the radio at one point, I was back and forth between the two, that Javi got the loudest ovations of the returning players that I can remember. I found that interesting. Mm. Did anybody else feel that way? Or I mean, maybe it's just because it's the most recent other guys. It's been a while. I just felt like that was the I'm curious if
I don't
you were
remember,
at the
but
game,
it would make sense.
If you were at the game last night, you know, if you're a season ticket holder, you've been to a handful of these, like, was that the loudest? Did he get the most ovations? Because it was the video tribute was spectacular. I mean if he didn't get a chance to see that,
those plays
check
are unbelievable.
It out. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That shouldn't surprise you that he got the biggest reaction. He was the most popular of the group, of the core. He was El Mago. He did things that make people like stand up and say, "Did you see that?" I think there's a different element of awe when you're talking about Kyle Schwarber hitting a 455-foot home run or Anthony Rizzo saying respect me or Chris Bryant doing what he did. Javi
it's a
Baez
great point. I just don't remember the applause being as much. That's all.
Yeah, I don't know if that's not true, but Dustin, do you remember when the Cubs went and played that Little League game and they show up in Williamsport? Who was the guy that everybody was rushing to?
Every kid wanted that. They had Baez jerseys. They wanted his autograph. Right.
Yeah, because like, that's the guy that was the most compelling kind of action figure.
He was relatable, too, because he did the things, and he wasn't hitting those long home runs that no kid can imagine ever hitting. He was doing things with his glove. He was doing the silly things on the bases, the tag, the slide. He was doing things that showed his baseball instincts, and every little leaguer could relate to that. He was just fun. And now the magic for El Mago, poof, it's gone.
It's disappeared.
It's disappeared. Abracadabra. Yeah, Javi Baez can't hit.
That's the most amazing trick he pulled off.
Yes, it's amazing because he's got so much money left on his contract. And
what
the Tigers.
Well, who would you rather have, Javi or Andrew Benintendi? Sorry.
I think that's a difficult one. Benintendi is almost half of the investment in Javi Baez. Yeah. Javi Baez signed a $140 million contract. Benintendi is only, air quotes, 75. Only 75. Both terribly disappointing. But Cubs needed that victory after the Hector Neris
That was
move.
Interesting, too.
Jed took... took the opportunity to explain it. I give him a lot of credit. I know accessibility doesn't mean a whole lot to people outside the media, perhaps, but Jed Hoyer made a move that opened some eyes and created some doubt about the motivation and intentions.
Yep.
There was talk, possibly some whispers about, well, will Hector Neris file a grievance over this because of 14 appearances shy of kicking in the player option? Jed Hoyer said that had nothing to do with it. Whether you believe him or not, he was there to hold himself accountable and explain a decision that I think that people understand, because he was – Hector Neris was bad.
What I found really surprising is that he went on waivers on Saturday. So they told him apparently before the game or post-game. They told him what might happen, and then they told him he was gone post-game. That means that Friday night was exactly what we thought it was.
The end. That's the last straw.
He blew
the save.
So the very fact,
oh, yes.
If he took him to arbitration, the very fact, the timing of that would tell you, well, no, that was where the dam broke.
There was cause effect.
There was a disaster,
yes.
And it was not a natural disaster. And mercifully, we repaired it so it didn't look as bad, but that was it.
Friday night, they survived the game. They went in extras, but Hector Neris put him in that situation, and that was the last straw. They reacted. He took it like a pro. He was back on the mound Sunday,
knowing
that he was probably his last appearance for the Cubs, and then he moved on, and they designated him for assignment. He cleared waivers, and now he's likely to end up with his former team, the Astros, and the Cubs are better for that, I think.
But the very fact that they made that decision after Friday seemed to me to mean that that decision was about performance and not about contract or any kind of luxury tax or anything.
I think it just changed my
approach a little.
I thought it was about performance only because he had been so spotty. And they believe in some of these young arms. And Porter Hodge rewarded that faith last night with a save. He got the job done. And you look at these guys, and they believe that Tyson Miller, Porter Hodge, and some of these young arms, we'll talk to Tommy Hodge at 9 o'clock, are more trustworthy than a guy who never came through for him.
Yeah. I wonder, David, if when we assess him in the final assessment, and I know we'll get to this, and I don't want to steal our own thunder, but I'm curious – do you believe that when you bring a guy in to play a particular role and his role has to shift because there was an injury, because you lost your clothes or whatever the reason, and then he doesn't perform the job that the other guy was supposed to do? Like he was supposed to be a high leverage guy, but more of a setup guy than a closer.
Seventh, eighth inning guy.
So the fact that he didn't really have the role that he thought he was going to have, does that justify some of that wretched performance, or does that – I mean, could you have moved him to a different sort of role, or the fact that you needed him and he couldn't do it for you?
I don't know if it justifies it. Here's what I think when you say that. I agree, and I think most people in baseball agree, that the ninth inning is different than the seventh and eighth. But the Cubs also hired a manager who kind of disagreed with that premise.
Outgetter.
Yeah. So if you're bringing in somebody who's more comfortable in a setup role, he's forced to play closer, you've got his mentality that you're worried about, the psyche that might be, even though he's a veteran, fragile because he can't make that adjustment. You got a manager who doesn't believe it's an issue because he keeps telling you there's just outgetters.
Well, he keeps telling you that the high leverage situation isn't necessarily the one at the end of the game, although other people argue about that.
Well, when the Cubs have 22 blown saves, I would argue that. I would say the ninth inning is the high leverage situation, and the Cubs have done poorly, and that's one of the reasons they are where they are, two games below 500 on August 21st.
If Edward Elzelay doesn't go down, doesn't get injured, would and he didn't start the season.
He wasn't good.
No. But had he been good, would Hector Neris have been good? Would the Cubs be in first place? You know what I mean? Like, there's just like this funny mirror idea.
Yeah. Because Adbert Alzolay got hurt and Hector Neris had to slide up a spot, he wasn't necessarily a good fit for that role. That's not what they got him to do, and that's not what they were paying $9 million for.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good point.
And you said $9 million. There's your answer. Because
it's a lot of money.
You know, as we always say, when you look at players, you have to take into account the amount of money they get, which creates the expectation for the player.
Yep.
So you're paying him that kind of money. Guess what? You better be able to do whatever we need you to
do. You better be able to be flexible.
That's right.
Did you see, though, the young man they called up from Iowa, Jack Neely? They got him in the Mark Leiter Jr. Trade. On Cubs.com, it's a great little anecdote. He was playing for Iowa. They were on the team bus leaving for Toledo. They stopped the team bus. They turn it around. They go back to Principal Park. Hey, young, you got to get off the bus. You're going to Chicago. That's how they told him he was basically going up to the big league team. And that's a...
I bet that bus went crazy.
Nice detour. I can imagine that moment. I wish that was on Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Hard Knocks.
The road to Wrigley.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
That'd be fun. That's a fun little anecdote.
Yeah.
Nice job, Jordan Bastion, telling it, because Jack Neely, big arm, big guy, 6'8", and I think that he had been lights out at AAA, getting his turn, and that, you know, the Cubs are threading the needle here. You didn't expect them to be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline. They were both. You didn't expect them to get rid of Hector Neris, but then they're bringing up a guy in Neely who has been pretty good at AAA. There's no real consistency with what they're doing, but they're trying to...
They're trying to thread the needle, as
create
you said.
A balance.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.